it.
Good morning. We've finally got through with chapter 5 in the book of Matthew as we continue on with our lessons concerning the Sermon on the Mount. This morning we're going to talk about acts of righteousness, or depending upon, again, your version, charitable deeds, the New King James, and alms, the Old King James. In chapter 5, simply we found the contrasting of the righteousness of the kingdom with that of the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching. As we enter chapter 6, we're going to begin a contrast with what they were actually practicing. Okay? The entire chapter expounds upon the righteousness of the kingdom with respect to man's relation to God, especially in the practice of certain acts of righteousness. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4 in the New American Standard reads, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So as we go, the basic principle is stated in the first verse of our text. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Okay? And so as we look at this principle, we need to understand some preliminary thoughts as we begin to look at this verse. One of the things is, usually when we have a difference in translation, such as the difference that I've already pointed out between the New American Standard and the King James and the New King James, usually it's a difference in understanding of what a Greek word means or doesn't mean. In today's case, though, we're going to find out it is actually two separate words. Okay? Now, the oldest of manuscripts that we have, the Greek word diakonin, is the basis for the New American Standard. Okay? And these oldest of manuscripts that were not available, by the way, when the King James was originally translated, these older manuscripts that we have found since then define the word this way. One, in the broad sense, the state of him who is such as he ought to be, righteousness. A, universally, the doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain to a state approved of God. Now, Hebrews 5, verse 13 says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." And so the word, the idea here is the word of righteousness, that which describes for us or determines for us what is righteous. We have to understand that man left to his own will tends not to go towards righteousness. Man left to his own will tends to go to unrighteousness. B, integrity, virtue, purity of life, uprightness, correctness in thinking, feeling, and acting. Matthew 3, verse 15. "But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. So to fulfill all righteousness, that is the way a man ought to live, the way that come to a completeness, to a complete aspect. And thus the word in the New American Standard is translated righteousness. In some later manuscripts, though, we have a different word. Notice the different word. This is one of very, very, very few incidences when there is this kind of difference between manuscripts. Okay? But I want us to note and understand that as we look at this word and we look at the first word, simply we're talking about the same thing in a very logical sense. Somewhat like we might do it in the English language. The word means, one, mercy, pity, especially as exhibited in giving alms or charity, Matthew 6, verse 4. So that your giving, that is, your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The second part of the definition, the benefaction itself, a donation to the poor, the alms. What he's saying there is the actual gift is also this same word. Luke 11, 41, but give that which is within it as charity, then all things are clean for you. So it's not only the giving, or it's not only the practice, but the actual gift itself. Excuse me. But in either way, as we look at it and we understand it, we're going to see that the principle stays the same. The principle does not change. Okay? And so again, as we continue, what is this basic principle? Well, we saw it. We want to focus on it. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. There's the principle. When we talk about these acts of righteousness, when we talk about doing things, the principle is set down for us. And that principle is, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Note, it is not to completely avoid any practice of righteousness before men. Otherwise, it's not simply the idea of not ever doing anything in front of somebody else. Notice again in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now I'm here to tell you, we cannot do things and let our light shine and be seen and not let things be seen that we do. That would be an absolute conflict in what we're talking about here. And I don't think that that exists. What the purpose here, and again, looking at the basic principle, understanding the principle, what is the purpose? Well, the problem is not doing acts of righteousness that are seen, but why we do those acts of righteousness. See it? It's not doing something that somebody is going to see. It's not stopping and helping a person because there's hundreds of people around standing around doing nothing. It's the courage to do it. And we'll see why in a minute. Do we do what we do? First, to glorify God, or do we do it to be seen by men? See, that's the principle. Why do we do what we do? It's not that we will ever be seen. Hopefully, we will be seen. Hopefully, people will see us doing good. But why do we do it? What motivates us? Think about it. One might be motivated at work by a promotion. One might work extra hard at work. Why? Because they want to be promoted. That's the motive. But why do we do acts of righteousness? Why do we do charitable deeds? Why do we give alms to the poor? That's the question. If we're doing what we're doing to be seen by men, we're doing it for the wrong reason. If we're doing it so that we might obtain some position, we're doing it for the wrong reason. See, it is proper to do good works that will be seen by men. But only when we're trying to secure the praise for the Almighty God. Only when God is glorified. If what we're doing is to be seen by men that we might gain approval of men, we've done it for the wrong reason. And of course, the consequence of ignoring that basic principle. There is a consequence for ignoring that basic principle. Remember, we said the basic principle is beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. But the consequence of that is otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. If in the innermost being of your heart you do not mean to please and glorify God, God has said He will not reward you. What reward you may have will be limited to what you have sought, the praise of men. Matthew 6, verse 2. So then, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. If you give and sound the trumpet that I have given, and man praises you for that, you have sought the praise of man, and you will get the praise of man, and that will be your reward. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. We're going to talk about these hypocrites in just a second. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. The fact is that, guess what? When you seek the approval of men and you gain it, and that is your purpose in what you do, then you have received your reward in full. It is not man's approval. It is not man's glorification that we are to seek. That doesn't mean that we don't, in fact, encourage people and slap people on the back and tell them they've done a good job. But that ought not to be the reason why we do things. So concerning these acts of righteousness, it always helps us, I think, when we're looking at things sometimes, to understand what not to do. And I think Jesus understands that, because in verse 2, he says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. See, notice he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, who are these hypocrites? Now, in the case of Matthew 6, Jesus doesn't identify them. But I believe we can know who they are. These are the ones who give to the poor and sound trumpets. These are the ones who do the things, who pray out in the open so everybody can see them. These are the ones who fast and look like they're fasting. All of it to be seen by men. Matthew 23. Jesus uses the term hypocrite over and over and over again. You scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. In Matthew 23, 1 through 3, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them.'" That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who puts on a show. The word literally means to be an actor. A hypocrite is someone who puts on a good show, appears to be something that he is not, according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Notice that these are the ones, as we just said, who sound trumpets in the synagogues and streets. Now, this is metaphorically. These guys weren't going around carrying a trumpet, blowing it, their horn. But we use the term today, right? Don't we use the term today? Hell, that individual toots his own horn, right? Isn't that? Where do you think that came from? Go to Matthew 23. Go to Matthew 6. Say things and do not do them. In fact, they blow trumpets as they do things. He toots his own horn, folks. Who are looking to be honored by men. Why does somebody toot his own horn? Huh? You ever thought about that? Why does somebody toot his own horn? Well, because he wants to be bigger in the eyes of somebody else than maybe he thinks he is. We've known people like that, haven't we? Huh? I am serious. I knew some people in the Army. If you wanted to know how good they were, I'd just ask them. They'd tell you. Okay? And we've all known the individual that no matter what you did or what you said, they always came up with something bigger and better. Jake and I went golfing Thursday. I could stand up here and tell you how well I golfed, but that wouldn't be the truth. Or I could sit here and tell you how close I came to Jake, and he's so much younger than I am. But then again, that wouldn't be the truth either. That kid annihilated me. Okay? But the point is, we've all known people who bragged about things that may not even have occurred. Why? Because they're looking to be honored by men. Passage tells us they have their reward in full. Folks, these have received exactly what they wanted. Okay? The praise of men. See, that's what they wanted, and that's what they got. But remember verse 1. What's our principle, folks? Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven, folks. They have no reward with the Father. All that they asked for, they got. And that's all they're going to get. Acts of righteousness done properly. Verses 3 through 4. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, this involves avoiding doing things for the praise of others, but also self-praise. You know, we sometimes think a little bit more of ourselves than we ought to. Linsky says this about it. He said, the right hand represents me with my good deeds. He said, the left, me with my good opinion about my deed. And what he's saying there, Linsky, all he is saying is, guess what? What the Lord has said is, don't let the doing of the deed get mixed up with my own attitude about my doing of the deed. That doesn't mean we don't feel good about doing good. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, I've encouraged that. Why? Because simply nobody's ever done something good for somebody and felt bad about it. You ought not to go around going, well, I did a good deed today. You know? You ought to smile. You ought to smile. It ought to be upbeat. But what the Lord is saying, what Linsky is saying here, is simply this. Guess what, folks? If the reason we're doing it is because it builds us up, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Hendrickson says the expression probably refers to the fact that as much as possible a person must keep his voluntary contribution a secret, not only to others, but even to himself. That is, he should forget about it. Instead of saying in his heart, what a good man, woman, boy, girl am I? I really believe that sometimes we judge ourselves by the acts of others. Don't we? And sometimes we even judge ourselves in the present with ourselves in the past. And hopefully, I'm a better Christian today than I was 30 years ago. Because if I'm not, I haven't grown. But I ought to not stand in myself and say, ha ha, look at me. Boy, the other day I was a scumbag. Now I'm pretty good. You know? Remember, we said it last week. Jesus said it. When you've done all that you're supposed to do, when you've done all that God has told you to do, simply you're an unworthy servant or an unworthy slave. We still don't deserve the blood of Christ that saved us. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. See, I think oftentimes we begin to think too highly of ourselves. And that's when we begin to stumble. Romans, the 10th, 11th chapter and the 20th verse says, quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, talking about Israel. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. Huh? Back over here. Take, therefore, he who thinks he stands, do not be conceited. How can we develop this attitude? I mean, society puts before us every single day the idea of lifting up ourselves in the eyes of everybody. I remember that when I was in the Army, we'd have promotion boards you'd have to appear before, and I've appeared before some of those promotion boards, and usually the promotion boards might have an officer and some enlisted men on them, or might even not have any officers, just senior enlisted guys, and they'd ask you questions. And they would ask you questions about your ability to do your job. And one of the questions inevitably they would ask is, why should you be promoted more than every other person? Like when I went in for E6, Staff Sergeant. Why should you be promoted to Staff Sergeant E6 more than all the E5s in the Army? What they expect you to say and what they want you to say is, because I'm the best of the best. We ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. We ought to take heed. We ought not to be conceited. That's what this is talking about. We ought not to think more highly of ourselves in what we do more than the rest. Jesus is not condemning public giving per se. Okay? In Acts 2, verse 44 and 45, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. You don't think that people didn't see this and weren't aware of it? Notice Acts 4, 34 through 37. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I'm telling you, when he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, there were people that knew what he was doing. And I'm here to tell you today, we know what Barnabas did because it's been recorded for us. Why is this okay? Why would we even know about this guy? The reason why is I believe that when Barnabas did it, he had the right attitude. Okay? He didn't do it for personal glory. And I believe if Barnabas could stand here before us today, humbly, he would in fact look at this as, oh, I wish, you know? Because he did it to serve others and glorify God. And so we have it recorded for us today. Jesus is simply condemning the spirit which seeks publicity. He's talking about what it is we seek. I do not believe that Barnabas sought publicity. He got it. And he is remembered to this day for what he did here. And for other things, of course, but for what he did here. He is remembered to this day. And I believe it's because of the attitude with which he did it. The true Christian cares not how much men hear of his public charities, nor how little they hear of his private ones. Top lady. The Father's reward for proper acts of righteousness. Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you. The New King James and the King James uses the term openly here. Will reward you openly. The reward may be experienced to some degree in this lifetime. Psalms 41, 1 through 3 says, "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. And the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health." But it is not only in this lifetime. For in this lifetime, we may have pain, we may have hunger, we may even have enemies who seek to destroy us. But there is a greater reward. There is a reward in the future. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. "For God will bring every act to judgment and everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us, one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Okay? We are better off today for doing any act that can be defined as an act of righteousness or a charitable deed or an alms. Because we, in fact, are God's children. And that's what God wants us to do. We are told about Jesus that he went about doing good. Can it be said of us that we went about doing good? I want to close with 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Christians who have been blessed have been given a charge to share with those in need. The teaching of Jesus assumes that his disciples would act or would do acts of righteousness, would do charitable deeds. And as such, to do them for then the right reason. That we may bring honor and glory to the Almighty God. That we may let our light shine as a reflection of the goodness of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you're here this morning and you have not been born again in the watery grave of baptism, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, know this and understand it, that water is prepared. Or if you're here and you need the prayers of this congregation for any reason, is there anything we can do for you? We would like you to come as we stand and sing the song that Brother Michael has selected.